on Season 3, Episode 75 of the Unknown Packers Podcast, we pay homage to another lost Packers family member in Kevin Green. Bryce talks Pro Bowl dubs and snubs, keeping focus on the task at hand, and Sunday night vibes. We add yet another twist to the Facing the Opponent series and stay in-state as we welcome Brian D. of WTMJ to the UPP studio. Bryce and Brian keep it real as they set up expectations for this weekend's playoff dress rehearsal against the Titans. Let's see what this Packers team is made of. And now it's time for Facing the Titans. Brian D. on tap.
This is Green Bay. Green Bay.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast.
Touchdown! Dagger! Al Harris, 56 yards to a game-winning touchdown! Green Bay Packers!
Go, Pat, go!
Running isn't everything, but it's the only thing.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow. Yeah.
Packers podcast.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow.
And let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town.
This is Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay,
Green Bay. And welcome to the Unknown Packers podcast for Facing the Titans on tap. I am Bryce Christensen, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, however you choose to celebrate this festive season. I hope you and yours are safe, healthy, and looking forward to the holiday season, however you celebrate, but excited for you all to tune in for our Facing the Opponent series. And this is a little bit of a twist. Rather than having a Tennessee Titans guest, I wanted to highlight someone locally. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm a big fan of 620 WTMJ out of Milwaukee. And we have guest Brian D. from 620 WTMJ Radio here with us in the second half talking about the Tennessee Titans, a little bit about his background. But first and foremost, I wanted to give my condolences to the Kevin Green family. I'm sure you all are well aware of the news of his passing, age 58, but former Packers assistant Kevin Green died Monday at his home in Alabama. Green was Green Bay's outside linebackers coach on Mike McCarthy's staff for five seasons from 2009 to 2013, including Packers Super Bowl XLV, the championship year. This is what Mark Murphy had to say, quote, "The Packers were saddened today, Monday, to learn of Kevin Green's passing. He was a great coach for us and was instrumental in our team's Super Bowl championship season. He had so much energy and passion. Our players loved playing for him. We extend our sincerest condolences to Kevin's wife, Tara, and their entire family." Kevin Green was a star for four different teams during his football career. He had earned All-Pro and Pro Bowl honors as member of the Rams, Steelers, Panthers. He also had a double-digit sack season with the 49ers. He was drafted in the fifth round by the Rams in 1985 after an impressive and decorated college career at Auburn. He recorded 160 sacks over 15 years playing in the NFL and ranked third on the all-time list when he retired after the 1999 season. I don't know about you, but I was completely gutted when I heard this news. I'm still sort of trying to wrap my mind around it. 58 years old, gone way too soon. I think what everyone thinks about when you think of Kevin Green is the "it is time" in the Super Bowl with Clay Matthews. It is time after, and Clay Matthews and Ryan Pickett being able to sandwich Rashard Mendenhall for that fumble, which we then, the Packers went on to win. That thought, that moment kept replaying in my head. I kept thinking about Kevin Green's family. I didn't even know the guy, but I was completely gutted. I'm stunned of his passing. From the Unknown Packers podcast, we share our deepest condolences to his wife and his kids, as well as the NFL community and the Green Bay Packers as well. We all grieve together for this tragic, tragic loss. It was not his time. And it's really hard to wrap my mind around for the fact of it's been such a rough year. It's been a rough, rough year for a lot of people, and I just felt like this was another added layer to this rough year. So it's made me reflect on myself, my family, my friends, which include all of you. So hold your loved ones, be thankful, and let's all give a pause for Kevin Green. I hope that was a good vigil for Kevin Green. I was sort of going back and forth on how I wanted to honor him. And like I said, I'm still sort of trying to wrap my mind around his passing. It's really weird to think about a person that you have never met, but the impact, the influence that Kevin Green has on my life. It's weird to think about. I remember being devastated that he retired for a few years and then he went on to the New York Jets, I believe in 2017, 2018 to coach. But as the outside linebackers coach, I loved his intensity. You know, I loved watching him play. I loved his wrestling career as well. I really wanted him to be the defensive coordinator. And when he stepped down and retired to focus on his family, I was, one, respected his decision, but two, I really wanted to see what he could have done as a defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. He was instrumental, as Mark Murphy says, in our Super Bowl championship season back in 2010, and he will live in infamy. He will live on forever, his legacy, and may he rest in peace, rest in power, but wanted to share the news of that. I'm sure you all gathered that news earlier this week. And it's odd to pivot, but this is what we do on this Packers podcast. We're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers. And speaking of Packers news, the Pro Bowl selections were announced this past Monday, and you had quarterback Aaron Rodgers, receiver Devonta Adams, tackle David Bakhtiari, guard Elgton Jenkins, Big E, linebackers Za'Darius Smith, cornerback Jair Alexander, and running back Aaron Jones have all been named to the Pro Bowl roster, the most original selections Green Bay has had since seven players were selected in 2011. The Packers' seven Pro Bowlers tie for the most in the NFL with Kansas City, Seattle, and Baltimore. Everyone outside of Aaron Jones was selected as a starter, the most the Packers have had since Vince Lombardi's final year as head coach in 1967, when he had Wood, Adderley, Robinson, Greg, Kramer, Dowler, and Bob Jeter all earn Pro Bowl starting honors. Jair Alexander, Aaron Jones, and Elgton Jenkins are first-time Pro Bowl selections, with Jair and Big E becoming the first draft picks of Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst to make the Pro Bowl team. Some interesting info in regarding these Pro Bowl selections. Jair is the youngest Packers player to be voted to the Pro Bowl since Eddie Lacy was selected in 2013. He has been regarded as a shutdown corner. He is a shutdown corner in our eyes. And so far, with 46 tackles, 9 passes defensed, and an interception in 13 starts. But he was also the first Packers cornerback to be selected since Sam Shields in 2014. He is one of 3 cornerbacks in franchise history to make the Pro Bowl in his first 3 seasons, joining Herb Adderley in 1963, his third season, and Willie Buchanan in 1973 in his second season. So Jair Alexander joins just a really impressive group of former Packer cornerbacks that have been selected to the Pro Bowl. Also wanted to mention that Big E, the Packers' second-round pick, is the first Green Bay Packers offensive lineman to start a game at guard, center, and tackle in the same season since the 1970 AFL-NFL merger. Ken Ingles had tweeted this out, and he wonders if Corey Linsley did not sustain an injury and Elgton Jenkins didn't move over to center, would he have gotten a Pro Bowl nod? Now, keep in mind, the Pro Bowl, the selections break down with coaches, players, and fans, a third apiece. So 33.333 repeating for those 3 categories, which culminates into a Pro Bowl selection. So the players, the coaches, as well as our loyal fan base all recognized these 7 players, but got to give credit to Brian Gutekunst. I mean, this is a pretty impressive list, considering with Jair Alexander, Elgton Jenkins, Za'Darius Smith, Brian Gutekunst acquisition, locking up David Bakhtiari. You have Aaron Rodgers in his MVP campaign, and then you also have Aaron Jones, who's set to be a free agent, but we'll talk about that another day. And before I move on to my thoughts, and as we wrap up the first half of Facing the Titans on Tap and welcome our guest Brian D to the virtual studio, I did want to mention this. It does seem that I'm being a little greedy with this, but I felt like Robert Tonyan deserved a Pro Bowl nod. You had Evan Engram, who made it over Robert Tonyan, and they essentially have the same receptions, yardage, but Robert Tonyan has 10 touchdowns, or tugs, if you will. So last year, you have Za'Darius Smith, who'd been snubbed. Now I feel like Robert Tonyan got snubbed. I know that I've been on the bandwagon. I mean, maybe I created the bandwagon when it comes to Robert Tonyan, but I know that there are a lot of people out there that saw what I saw. When we brought him on, he had a really great training camp preseason 2 years ago. And then this last year, you got to see him sort of take that next step. And now you're seeing him. I mean, he is a playmaker. And say what you will regarding Tonyan. And if you take away his touchdowns, what has he really done? But I mean, look at what he's, I mean, he completely has ascended over what Jimmy Graham did last year. Tonyan's always open. He is laying blocks down. He is just the essential Green Bay Packers player. That could be Coach LaFleur. But at the same time, Robert Tonyan was also a guy that he takes his craft seriously. He is a consummate professional. He trains in the offseason with George Kittle. I'm excited to see what he can do moving forward. I still think we're scratching the surface with Robert Tonyan. Granted, I'd like to see a little bit more outside of just the red zone opportunities, but give credit where credit is due. He has been schemed open. He has made plays. He does all the little things correctly. He has that juice, that pizzazz, that energy that we all like to see. And like I said, I think we're scratching the surface with Robert Tonyan. Tight end one, the Sycamore, Big Bob, Bobby. But I thought he got snubbed. And I know in our 11-3 on Tap episode, Ken was asking why I hadn't talked about Tonyan. You know, maybe getting a little bit more love, maybe getting a game ball for his double-digit tugs that he's had so far, scoring that touchdown against the Carolina Panthers. Well, here you have it, Ken. I'm talking about Robert Tonyan, and I thought he got snubbed. I know that if you go on Twitter, there are a lot of other people that have also tweeted out how they felt like he got snubbed as well. But maybe that's a blessing in disguise. We're talking about Tonyan. We're talking about tight end number one, the Sycamore. But like I said, I've been on this microphone talking about Robert Tonyan. And it's really great to see that other people are starting to recognize what a playmaker he is, how important he is to this team. Do I think that he's going to get this huge contract? No, he's exclusive rights free agent. So we'll be able to get him, I think, in a very fiscal, responsible way. And we've talked about that in previous episodes, but it would have been really nice to see number 8 for the Green Bay Packers, Robert Tonyan, make that Pro Bowl. Maybe he can come in as an alternative. We'll see. And maybe this is a chip on his shoulder. He deserves to be in the Pro Bowl, in my opinion, and maybe we're going to start to see some more gaudy stat lines from the Sycamore. And as we wrap up Facing the Titans on Tap, the first half, that is, I wanted to talk about my thoughts heading into the game, because in the second half, it's really more focusing on Brian D, his answers to my questions and his thoughts. But the thing that I really enjoyed the most out of this game last Sunday, I'm sorry, this the game last Saturday, was how many carries Aaron Jones had. Most in a game this season, he averaged 7.25 yards per rush. In 8 December games over the last 2 seasons, he's averaging 100.1 rushing yards per game and 5.8 yards per carry while running for 7 touchdowns. He is December football, Mr. Sagittarius. He says the stars align. It is his time. I think we're going to see Aaron Jones explode. And that will open up things for the offense. One thing that I'd like for Coach LaFleur to do is, I don't know, there were things that the Carolina Panthers did that sniffed out almost the predictability when it comes to our offense. The bootleg to Robert Tonyan, Davante Adams, I think what I would like to see Sunday Night Football against the Tennessee Titans and the Green Bay Packers is a little bit more creativity in scheming Devontae Adams open. They talked about that in their post-game press conference of getting the ball into their playmakers, Devontae Adams specifically. I think that he's going to bounce back because the Tennessee Titans defense, while it used to be good, that's not their strength, their offense is. So I'm predicting toe-to-toe, high-scoring game. This Tennessee Titans offense, 10 wins so far, the first time that they've won 10 games since 2008. I mentioned this in the second half, but they lead the NFL right now as the highest scoring offense through 15 weeks with 436 points. Packers at 434. This is going to be an offensive showdown with Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill does not turn the ball over. A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, there's some significant playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. This is going to be an exciting, fun game to watch. And I know that everyone's they're sort of conjuring up, oh, the playoff scenario is a number one seed. We win this week, or if we lose this week, get that out of your head. Week in, week out, just win the football game. I don't care about these seedings right now. I don't care about the statistics, the possibilities. I want the Green Bay Packers to show the world Sunday Night Football that they are the best team in the NFL. And I think that after sort of a disappointing performance, even though the Carolina Panthers are ascending, I think that they threw a lot at the Green Bay Packers that they weren't expecting. I think they threw a lot that not other NFL teams have, specifically with their defense. Coach Rhule has really provided some unique sets on the defense. You have five deep, which is not normal. So a lot of his principles from Baylor are applied now to the Carolina Panthers team. This is a team that does not lose that. They've been in so many close games. So I think that this bittersweet win over the Carolina Panthers, they're going to come out firing. And that's what I want to see. Four quarters of football. No more lulls. This is when you start to hone in. This is when you start to iron out the wrinkles. Let's keep it hot. Let's show the NFL, let's show the world that we are the best team. Let's not worry about who we're playing in week 17, even though we know who we're playing in week 17. I'm not even going to say who we're playing in week 17. Let's focus on the Tennessee Titans. So let's just go out there and win. I think what I want to see is this defense. It seems that they're bending in the right way. They're ascending. You have extremely impressive play from Adrian Amos, Chris Barnes in there, the commander with the headset. Even though him and Kirksey, they split essentially snap counts, you got to think that Chris Barnes is going to be the commander of that defense, wearing the headset more and more now, moving forward. He's healthier. He's in a groove. This is an undrafted free agent rookie. I got to think that all these, the Pro Bowl nods for Jair Alexander, Zadarius, who wasn't snubbed. I think that that's going to give them a little bit more pep to their step. And the big question is, can we stop Derrick Henry? I don't know if we can stop him. We can only hope to contain him. But he's run over everyone. So even if he runs for 150 yards, I'll take that. The player that we need to neutralize is Ryan Tannehill. Against Detroit, he had five touchdowns, threw for three touchdowns, and ran for two. This guy, when plays break down, he can kill you with his legs. And as we wrap up facing the Titans on tap for the first half, that's what I want us to focus on. Can we neutralize Ryan Tannehill? He's a guy that takes care of the football. We'll talk about this in the second half with Brian. But I want everyone to have the mindset right now that, hey, we're the Green Bay Packers. This is our house. Lambeau Mystique is back. This is our house. We are the number one seed in the NFC, and we're going to continue to do so. I've had this game circled for quite some time. I'm sure the Green Bay Packers have as well. But this is an opportunity to show everyone that they mean business, that they are one of the elite, if not the elite team in the NFL. Let's punch the Tennessee Titans in the mouth, who are 10-4, Packers 11-3 right now. But none of this, oh, if we lose this game, then we can still get the number one seed. No. Go into this with the mindset of the Packers are going to win. The Packers need to win. We are a momentum-driven team. So let's keep on keeping on. Let's get that mindset correct. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and I am thrilled to welcome our next guest, Brian D., the Unknown Packers Podcast Studios. Be right back. Go Pack, go.
This episode is brought to you by Sonic Transformation. Check us out at www.sonictransformation.com. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.
Go Pack, go! And welcome back to the second half of Facing the Titans on Tap. And I mentioned this in the first half that we switched it up a little bit with our Facing the Opponent series. Rather than having a Tennessee Titans guest, I wanted to expand our network within the state of Wisconsin. A brilliant voice, someone that I've been really excited to tune into week in and week out, and thrilled for his first appearance in the Unknown Packers podcast virtual studio. But we have guest Brian D. of 620 WTMJ Milwaukee, Marquette alum. How are you doing, Brian?
I was at Marquette. I was involved in student media, did some sports talk radio at our student media station. And started looking for unpaid internships in Milwaukee, and then in the Cleveland area where I was living in the summers at the time with my parents. And there was this little company called Good Karma Brands that owned a network of ESPN radio stations in Milwaukee, Madison, Cleveland, West Palm, and decided to start interning for them. And kind of worked my way up through the ranks there. I also interned in college at WTMJ and worked under Greg Matzik and Doug Rutzel and some really cool people. And 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago now, Good Karma Brands, that tiny little company, ended up buying WTMJ, and my two internship worlds sort of smashed together, and it's become one big happy family. So I had a bunch of luck and on my way up in terms of the companies I interned for, and ended up in the right spot.
No kidding. I didn't know that you were from New York originally. The second question might not be applicable, but I'm curious, with you covering the Green Bay Packers, are you a Green Bay Packers fan, or is it more of an occupational sort of tie-in?
It's certainly more the latter there. I grew up a huge Buffalo Bills fan. I still am to this day. Nice. But I obviously have plenty of Packers connections, not just professionally, but personally. Having lived in the state for 10 years now, a lot of my best friends are all Packers fans. My fiance grew up in the state of Wisconsin. She's a Packers fan. So I'm certainly in tune to Packers games, not just professionally, but personally, as much as I am the Bills.
How did you become a Bills fan then? Was it more locality then?
Yeah, for sure. Just growing up in Rochester, New York, about 15 minutes east of Buffalo. It's just that's the team. And my grandfather was obviously a huge Bills fan as I was growing up. And being born in 92, that was right in the middle of the golden era for the Buffalo Bills, in the middle of all of those Super Bowl teams, those great teams with Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed. So it was certainly part of life growing up in that area, and just kind of stuck with me regardless of where I moved as I grew up.
Very cool. I love doing these guest episodes because, one, sometimes I can be a little too presumptuous, and two, a little bit of nostalgia, get a little bit of background with our guests. But for everyone that's tuning in, I hope you're enjoying so far what we've been releasing week in and week out. And the moment you all been waiting for, we're going to pivot and start talking about the Green Bay Packers' upcoming opponent, the Tennessee Titans, Sunday night football. But first and foremost, Brian, tell me your opinion so far of the 11-3 Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, they're obviously one of the top four teams in the National Football League through 14 weeks. There's no argument that you can make against that. But they also have some well-documented issues, as does everybody else in the NFC, in my opinion. Like the AFC is loaded this year. I think there are eight teams that are just phenomenal teams. I mean, the AFC, half the conference, is going to finish with 10 wins this year. The NFC, you just look up and down the conference, and especially the top half playoff teams, everybody seems to have a significant flaw. And I think, the thing we're all forced to kind of chew on as the playoffs get closer here is, what flaw is the most palatable? What can these teams deal with and ultimately get through to the Super Bowl and potentially, take a shot at a Kansas City Chiefs or a Pittsburgh Steelers or a Buffalo Bills or so on and so forth down the list? All of these NFC teams seem flawed, including the Packers, and we kind of have to chat through what the Packers' flaws are and hope they don't bite them, especially this weekend against the Tennessee Titans, because that workhorse Derrick Henry is coming to town. And Matt LaFleur even spoke about it on Monday morning of this week. Everybody all season long that plays Tennessee knows what they're trying to do. They're going to run Derrick Henry down your throat and see if you can stop him. And nobody's been able to do that so far.
Talking about flaws, I'm going to switch up my question here real quick. We're not going to deviate too much from the agenda that I sent you, but talking about flaws, what are the areas that have you concerned about the Green Bay Packers heading into Sunday night football against the Tennessee Titans? This looks like probably the closest formidable foe the Green Bay Packers have faced all year outside of the New Orleans Saints. That really come to mind. I've had this game circled since the schedule got released, and now we're getting closer and closer. The Tennessee Titans seem to be a well-oiled machine, as are the Green Bay Packers in some areas. But what concerns you the most heading into Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I've had this game circled for a while as well, Bryce, and you kind of hit on one of my concerns. There's a few. Number one, you can only play who's on your schedule, right? Like, you have no control over that. But the Packers haven't really been successful against a great football team since week three, mm-hmm. when they went down to New Orleans and played the Saints. Since then, you know, the game against Tampa was a disaster. Coming home and losing to the Vikings was no fun. And that was a very similar team in some respects that you're going to see this weekend against Tennessee, that they love to run the football. And, you know, the Packers knew that was coming and couldn't stop it. And then Indianapolis is another 10-4 football team. And that was obviously right. a tremendously entertaining football game. But the Packers came out on the short end of the stick. And you look at their wins, they're all against teams outside of the playoff picture right now, you know, other than that Saints game. So that's concern number one. I think the run defense is yet to prove that it can stop a really good back. And then, you know, Matt LaFleur said something really interesting earlier this week that I thought was mildly concerning. Or could be come playoff time. And that's that, you know, in Saturday night's win over Carolina, Carolina did something differently defensively than we've seen anybody do against the Packers so far this right. year. And that was drop 8 guys into coverage and basically dare the Packers to run the football. Mm-hmm. And they were unwilling to do so. They wanted to live and die by throwing. And I think that's why you saw things get a little bit clunky offensively in the second half of that football game. So I'm really curious to see if other opposing defenses decide to take that same route and say, it sounds crazy, but Aaron Rodgers beat us with your arm. You know, we're going to dare you to beat us with your arm, and we'll see if the Packers and Matt LaFleur are willing to deviate from their bread and butter, which is, of course, 12-17.
Do you foresee Aaron Jones getting another 20 carries then as we move forward with December football? He seems to be prone or ready for December football. He had mentioned that he's a Sagittarius and the stars align for him and how successful he can be. Do you think... I thought that was a great point, what Coach Rhule sort of had set up. Aaron Rodgers in his post-game presser had alluded to the fact that it sort of caught him by surprise, mm-hmm. the principles of what Rhule had put in place. And Baylor, he transitioned that to the Carolina Panthers. Do you see them switching it up? I don't see Coach LaFleur. He seems to have that pre-script. He seems to have that game script set up. But do you really believe that we're going to see a different offense schematically than on Sunday?
I don't. I think unless, you know, the Titans defense, which by the way, has not been very good this year. And that's right. what we think of when we think about the Titans, right? It's a great defensive team. That's absolutely not who they are this year. But I think unless the Titans defense, you know, employs the same blueprint for a large portion of the game that Carolina did, I think the Packers are perfectly content living and dying the way that they play football. By the way, we're talking about a game that the Packers won against Carolina. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's not like they went out there and got stuck. I mean, by this incredible Carolina defense. I mean, they had a clunky second half because Carolina played well, but they won the football game. I was mm-hmm. I was a little bothered by Aaron Rodgers' post-game press conference saying, oh, that was a disappointing victory. You know how many teams in the NFL would love to have disappointing victories week in right. and week out? So to get back to your initial question, Bryce, I think the Packers are going to do what's been successful all season long, and it's the reason they're 11-3, and that's been Aaron Rodgers spreading it around to everybody on the football field, not just Davante Adams, but MVS in some cases. Robert Tonyan's been a revelation. And then, you know, having Aaron Jones contribute not only running, but catching balls out of the backfield as well.
So what areas have you excited as the Packers inch closer and closer to the playoffs, sitting at 11-3 right now, the number one seed in the NFC with a couple games left, back-to-back NFC championships, and then arguably their toughest opponent to date. But what's got you excited? Why is this team the number one seed right now in the NFC?
The reason they're number one is Aaron Rodgers has elevated his level of play back to levels that we saw in 2010, 2011. And he's talked openly about that all season, you know, dating back to training camp when this team reconvened after they were kind of split up due to COVID-19. But he has kind of found a fountain of youth. And I think that's what Packers fans should be most excited about, is he's made tweaks to his game and he's playing with a level of confidence that we haven't seen in a while. But I also think we have to give credit to the weapons that are around him, because Bryce, we've spent so much time, I'm sure you guys have on your podcast, talking about the lack of weapons and when is this Packers organization going to give Aaron Rodgers more to work with offensively. He hasn't thrown a pass to a first round pick in Lord knows how long. We've all had these conversations, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we have to start giving credit where credit is due. Davante Adams is the best wide receiver in the NFL, even though statistically, if you look at everything right now, that argument can't be backed up really statistically because he missed two games. But if he had played a full schedule, he'd be on top of every major category receiving-wise. Aaron Jones is playing so well that, you know, he may price himself out of Green Bay this upcoming season. I don't know if the Packers are going to be willing to pay him what he wants to be paid. Jamal Williams is going to have a 500-yard season. Robert Tonyan is right up there with Travis Kelce in terms of touchdown production for tight ends in the league. MVS has the same amount of touchdown catches as DeAndre Hopkins prior to yesterday and Stephon Diggs. Like, these are top-tier wide receivers we're talking about. So I just think the production of the offense is what has Packers fans excited, or should have Packers fans excited, on top of the fact that it's looking at this point, barring something dramatic like the road to the Super Bowl, the road to Tampa is going to go through Green Bay, which is something we haven't seen in a very long time in Green Bay, and something Aaron Rodgers is very openly excited about.
Giddy up. I would love that. It's never happened with Aaron Rodgers. Their lone Super Bowl trip and victory, they went on the road three straight games. So this is something that I think Aaron Rodgers wants, as well as the Green Bay Packers organization. We've got a couple more questions before we wrap up facing the Titans on tap. But what matchups are you looking at for Sunday Night Football? And tied to that, is there a Packers player you feel is going to step up this Sunday?
Sure. Yeah, I think the matchup, and we've already kind of hit on it, Bryce, is Derrick Henry versus everybody, right? Yeah. Like, I was toying around on Twitter earlier this week about who's going to be the guy that's on the wrong end of a Derrick Henry stiff arm this week. Oof. Because it seems like it's becoming a weekly occurrence for whoever the Titans play. But that's the thing I'm most excited to watch, is how this Mike Pettine defense, which, by the way, has been playing well of late. Like, I think back to Carolina's game, coming up with a really timely big defensive play on the goal line in terms of Chris Barnes punching out a ball that Teddy Bridgewater was trying to go over the top, and it was scooped by Kevin King. Like, those are the type of plays that, even if this Packers defense bends at times in the playoffs, if they don't break in that kind of moment and come up with those big plays, that's huge. But we haven't seen them perform great against a top-tier playoff-style football team yet this season. And I was a little bummed that Christian McCaffrey wasn't able to play last week for Carolina, because that's a top-tier back. And, you know, until they prove that they can shut down a top-tier running back when you know it's coming, I'm going to have doubts about this Packers defense. And I think those doubts date all the way back to that Dalvin Cook gashing, in the middle of October. That's still stuck in my craw. I'm sure it's still stuck in a lot of Packers fans' craw. And that's the thing I'm most curious, and I think Packers fans should be most excited to watch this weekend, is whoever it is, you know, whoever it is that can step up, whether it's the linebackers, and hopefully it's the front four or the front three for the Green Bay Packers, clogging some of those holes for Derrick Henry. Whoever it is that steps up, can they stop the onslaught of what they absolutely know is coming? And that's Derrick Henry. And if they can, I think, Super Bowl aspirations are going to become very real. And if they can't, the national narrative next week and the local narrative as well will be, okay, this is a great Packers team that still can't stop the opponent's will when they know it's coming.
And Derrick Henry has 1,679 rushing yards. I think a big question will be, can he get to 2,000 against the Green Bay Packers? I think you hit it right on the head. Who is going to, and I did a little bit of a perusing with your Twitter before we did our recording, and you said, who's going to get ragdolled for the Packers? And that'll be something that I'm not eagerly awaiting. This is a prolific offense for the Tennessee Titans. They're ranked number one right now in points, believe it or not, with 436, and then the Chiefs with 435, and then Green Bay with 430. Sunday Night Football is gearing up to be a frozen tundra game, if you will, with 26 degrees, feels like 16 degrees with a chance of snow. So this is what we've been waiting for. December football, you've got your stars on both sides of the football. Now my question is, as we get closer to wrapping up, facing the Titans on tap with Brian D., what are your thoughts of the Titans and Green Bay Packers as they square off Sunday night football in what looks like could potentially be maybe a showdown down the road 4 or 5 weeks? I try not to get a little too presumptuous, yeah, and the AFC is going to beat up on each other. But these are two top teams right now, and I think the way Tannehill controls the football, doesn't turn it over, you have Henry, yeah, as well as this offense. What are your thoughts as we get squared away with this Sunday?
Yeah, this is going to be a prove a game for the Green Bay Packers. And I'm so glad, Rice, that you brought up, the rest of the Titans offense, because we've spent a bunch of time talking about Derrick Henry and he deserves that. But this is a well-rounded Titans offense. It really is. They're explosive. And Ryan Tannehill is a big reason for that. 31 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's not turning the ball over. He's got weapons on the outside, none bigger than AJ Brown. Like they're more than just Derrick Henry. So it's going to have to be a well-rounded performance from Mike Pettine's defense. Believe it or not, I think Tennessee's going to come out with this football game. And I have to pick that way because Green Bay has not proven that they can stop the run yet. And I do think, too, that even if Tennessee commits to the run early and has success with it, that opens up everything else offensively for them with Ryan Tannehill running a little play action to those weapons on the outside and getting things going. That's what makes them such a dangerous offense, is they can play off of that dynamic running game and that power running game that Derrick Henry loves to employ so much. So, I have no reason at this point to believe that the Packers will be able to shut down the best rusher in the NFL. And that's not the end of the world. Like, this could be a good learning experience for them going into the playoffs, but I'm expecting an exciting, high-scoring football game despite the weather conditions, which you wouldn't necessarily expect when it's that frozen tundra type of atmosphere in December.
Beautifully said, and I know that didn't align with what my expectations are when it comes to an 11-3 Green Bay Packers team, but like you had mentioned it as well as I did, we've had this game circled, and we've been eyeing this up for quite some time. The Tennessee Titans are the real deal, well-coached. I mentioned in the first half about Coach LaFleur and his ties to the Tennessee Titans being the offensive coordinator in 2018 when Mike Vrabel was a first-year head coach. Do you think that that has any sort of influence on how the Packers fare, or the Titans a different team than they were 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I was curious about that as well, too. And I asked the voice of the Packers, Wayne Larrivee, that same question that you just asked me when he joined our show on WTMJ earlier this week. And his response was, well, LaFleur was only there for 1 year. It was two years ago. We don't think it's going to have too big of an impact. And I think that's probably the correct way to approach it. It is a different football team than it was 2 years ago with a different quarterback, different pieces on offense. I mean, it's defensively, they're much, much different, much weaker than they once were. So if anything, I think Matt LaFleur has already said everything that he knows about the Tennessee Titans organization, and he didn't have to say it. It's going to be 22 downhill all day, and they're going to have to stop it. And Matt LaFleur knows that. Mike Vrabel knows that. Derrick Henry knows that. Kenny Clark knows that. Everybody knows what's going to happen. I'd be shocked if we don't see 20, 25, 30 touches from Derrick Henry, and we're going to see whose will comes out stronger at the end of the day.
I love what you said, though, that this could be a big learning opportunity for the Green Bay Packers. I think this past Saturday, even though the Packers came away victorious, it seemed like it was a loss based off of the press conferences with some of the Packers players, specifically Aaron Rodgers, calling it bittersweet, calling it a stinker. They've got a lot on tape now that they can review and reflect on. And then again, with this Tennessee Titans game, and then you've got the Chicago Bears to wrap up the season before it's playoff football time. But I want to thank you so much, Brian, for coming on the Unknown Packers podcast. Can you tell our listeners where they can follow you throughout social media, and also when you're on the radio?
Yeah, absolutely. So give me a follow on Twitter at Brian JD. That's BryanJDEE. And then check out some of the content we're churning out at WTMJ, not just myself, but my partner, Greg Matzik, on sports for WTMJ, especially our extra points at WTMJ.com. A lot of fun content going up there on a daily basis. But yeah, I appreciate you having me, man. This has been fun. And hopefully we can continue this Packers ride deep into the month of January, maybe early February. It'd be a nice start to 2021 after what's been a crazy 2020.
Amen to that. And thank you so much for coming on. Looking forward to keeping in touch, and keep up the wonderful work. that you've been producing week in, week out. I hope everyone that tuned in enjoyed our new tweak to our guest in our Facing the Opponent series, Facing the Titans on Tap, as the Green Bay Packers square off against the Tennessee Titans, which could be the game of the year so far in the NFL. Hope you enjoyed it. I am Bryce Christensen, and this is the Unknown Packers Podcast. Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Unknown Packers, as well as Facebook, Instagram, the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can check us out on our website, theunknownpackers.com, and a variety of different podcast platforms as well. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play the Unknown Packers Podcast. That's right. We're friends with Alexa. Go Pack, go.
This podcast was edited and produced by Sonic Transformation. Sonic Transformation. Your sound refined.